Many years ago, I met an amazing fellow named Ted. He was a man of great vision, sparkling dreams, wonderful enthusiasm, and boundless energy. He had a refreshingly positive personality. There wasn't a problem that couldn't be solved. There wasn't an idea that couldn't be thought. There wasn't an objective that couldn't be reached if one put one's mind and heart to work. Ted was that kind of a man. He had a soul that was beautiful and a magnetic, energetic spirit that didn't know the meaning of the words can't or quit. He was the kind of guy that most people wanted to be around because his attitude was absolutely infectious. The church, unfortunately, cured him of this. Now, before you start speculating, please know that I'm not pointing the finger of blame at any particular church or denomination. While there is a culprit congregation, I'm really not interested in that right now. My focus is on the problem. Excuse me. My focus is on the problem of dead institutions, dead systems, dead structures, church type. Ted's heart and mind was in the right place. Ted's character, Ted's love, Ted's energy was amazing and wonderful to behold. In fact, he was such an amazement that many people around him felt inferior. And so the church cured him of his enthusiasm. The church cured him of his energy. The church cured him of his vision. The church cured him of his dreams. The church cured him of his personality, his magnetism. The church killed Ted's spirit. Now, Ted's still alive. Don't misunderstand me. Ted's an investment banker somewhere. He goes to the church on Sundays, sits in a pew, sings the hymns of the congregation, gives his tithe, or part of it sometimes, and doesn't do much else. He doesn't attend any meetings, although he's on a couple of committees. He doesn't volunteer to mow any yards. He doesn't volunteer to teach any Sunday school classes. Even when asked, he says, "No, I don't have anything to offer at this time." He doesn't offer any visions for the church. He doesn't offer any service. And he's there part of the time. The church killed Ted's enthusiasm, Ted's visions, Ted's dreams. Ted became weary in his well-doing, my friends, because Ted was not upheld and supported by his fellow Christians. He sowed and sowed and sowed, and it's as if there were people out there with bags catching the seeds before they went into the ground and taking them and burning them. He sowed and sowed and sowed, and people said no to what he had to offer. And so Ted quit. He sat down and said, "No more. No more need to put forth an effort. No more need to try. No more need to offer. No more need to try and serve. I'll just sit here and participate and sing a little bit and pay a little tithe, and that's all." He became weary in his well-doing. Is that where you are today, my friends? Have you become weary in your well-doing? It hits the best of us. I said several weeks ago that There comes a time when even the preacher, the one who wears basic black or white, as the case may be on Sunday mornings, doesn't want to get up. Rolls over in bed and looks at the clock and goes, "Oh, I think I'd want to sleep an extra 30 minutes. I think I want to sleep an extra hour. I think I want to sleep until noon rather than get up and go to church." Yes, even preachers, my friends, have this problem from time to time. It's called getting weary in your well-doing, and Paul writes about it in his letter to the Galatians, where he says, "We will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right. Let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith." We are called to work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. If we cannot work for the good of the family of the faith, then my friends, what we proclaim here, when we say our affirmation of faith, when we sing these wonderful hymns, when we hear the scriptures proclaimed and say, "Thanks be to God," when we offer up our prayers, if we cannot work for the good of the family of the faith, then all that we say is a lie. We certainly can't work for the good of the people outside these walls who need to hear the gospel. Have we become weary in our well-doing? Have we become weary in doing what is right? Have we become weary in sowing? I love this passage. I can remember when I was growing up, Mother used to always say, "You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Don't do it if you don't want to have the consequences come back at you. Consequences are like boomerangs. You do it, you'll pay for it. Or to put it another way, you do it and I'll catch you." You may not believe me. You may think you've gotten away with it, but you didn't. "I'll know, and you'll reap what you sow." I used to hate hearing that. "You reap what you sow, you reap what you sow, you reap what you sow." Sorry, Mom. And then when I finally started reading the Bible, finally started studying the scriptures, and I read this passage, I realized that Mother was right. You do reap what you sow. You get out of life that which you put in. That's true in everything. It's true in education. Think about it. You can go to the best school in the world. You can have the best teachers in the world, with the best textbooks in the world, with the best curriculum in the world, with the best study guides in the world, with the best tutors in the world. And if your students don't put in and study, they don't get anything out of it. You only get out what you put in. Ted found that out. Ted had a great desire to give, to give, to give. He was interested in his ideas and expressing his dreams and his expectations and his wants and his desires and his thoughts and his plans. And he had his energy and his program and his ministry to do and his objectives and the future that he saw for his church. What's the problem with that sequence? It's all his. It was all his. You know, I told the story in the newsletter for this month. But the one thing I didn't add, because I was limited on space, Peggy, was that, unfortunately, Ted's problem was partially his own. Yes, the church squashed it. Yes, the church cured him of his enthusiasm by saying no. But part of Ted's problem was that it was all his ministry, his vision, his dream, his plan, his program, his objectives, his go his vision. Not God's, not even ours, his. He became focused on himself and what he could give, instead of upon us and what we together can contribute and do. So yes, the church is to blame for curing Ted of his enthusiasm. But Ted is to blame too for being so focused on his own contribution and how it was being ignored and how he was being dropped and how he was not being supported. He could have recognized that this was the whole group's objective, vision, dream, and plan. My friends, we only get out what we put in. And if we put in only for our own value, for our own edification, for our own growth, for our own dreams and desires, then we're not going to get the full measure of what God has for us. We reap what we sow. And if we sow it to ourselves, it's going to go down with us. It's going to rot with us, my friends. Now, some people really love to take this passage and, oh, they love to use it. They love to take that wonderful verse at the very beginning where it says, those who are taught in the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Well, I love that one. Oh, I love that one. Those who are taught in the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Come on. Where are the good things? Oh, that's a fun one to use. What does it mean? Look at the context of what it means. It's focused upon the whole community of faith. Let us work together and not become weary in our well-doing. Let us indeed work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. If you sow, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You can't mock God. You cannot pretend as though you're doing God's work when really you're doing and serving your own ends. God isn't going to be mocked. God knows the truth. God knows what's in your heart. And if you're doing what you're doing for number one's sake, your own sake, God ain't mocked. He knows. God knows why you're doing what you're doing. If you're doing it for your own build-up, for your own edification, God knows. You're reaping it. You're sowing it to yourself. And it'll die with you. Now, when each of us join the church, we promise to support it through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. That's four areas of the life encompassing the totality of the Christian personhood. Prayers, that's the concern, the support, praying to God for our family of faith and for others, for the needs of others and for those within our family. Prayers, that's the concern that we have for each other and for the world. Presence, that's being right here. That's being right up here. That's being over there in Sunday school classes. That's being here on family nights and Bible study times and when it's time to mow the lawn and unplug the toilets and do the work of the church and prepare the barbecue and do this auction and go see the celestials. Presence means being here together as a family. It is rare, Mom, that our family has dinner as a whole. When it's Mom and Dad and me and Chuck. That's almost maybe once every couple of months. At best, it's usually Mom, Dad, and I. Or Mom, Dad, and sometimes Chuck. It's almost never the four of us together. We need to be present with each other as a family, just as the church needs to be present with each other as a church family. Prayers, presents, gifts. Yes, gifts, money, and other things, not just God dollar, but other things that we have, good things that we have to give. Prayers, presents, gifts, and service. Service. Lots of ways to serve, my friends. Just as there's lots of ways to give, there's a lot of ways to be present, and there's a lot of ways to pray. There are lots of ways to serve. Through playing pianos and organs, running soundboards, reading scripture, doing children's sermons, teaching Sunday school classes, working in the bread basket, doing VBS, cooking meals, doing the barbecue, doing the auction, doing the telestials, unplugging toilets, mowing yards, painting trim, fixing toilets, doing everything you can possibly imagine. Service. Going out and knocking on doors and asking people who are new to the community, do you have a church home? If you don't, we'd love to invite you to come and be with us. Service. Doing what God has called us to do together as a family. Prayers, presents, gifts, service. All of these parts and aspects of our life work together. It is indeed, each one of these is indeed reflective of an action of faith. We take our belief and we place it into action in our prayers, in our presence, in our gifts, and in our service. We are called to uphold the family of faith through each one of these aspects. We are called to share materially. Share and give of the abundance that God has given us with those who have served to teach us the Word through Scripture, preaching, teaching, service, praying, in all the aspects of the church's life. My friends, have you become weary in doing what is right? Have you become weary in this well-doing? In living by faith? In abiding by your vows of membership? I invite you today, when you come to the altar to receive Holy Communion, if you have been feeling weary, if you have been wondering why there aren't others to lift you up and support you and undergird you and help, if you have been wondering why you feel like you're out there on your own and you are becoming weary, my friends, I invite you to come to the altar today, and when you receive Holy Communion, to thank God that His grace undergirds us and supports us and empowers us. And apart from His grace, we can do nothing. And my friends, when you come to the altar today, if you feel as though deep down inside you know Greg is preaching to me, I haven't been doing what I'm called to do. I haven't been praying. I haven't been present. I haven't been giving. I haven't been serving. I haven't been abiding by my vows. If when you come today you feel the Holy Spirit tugging in your heart, calling you back to your vows, I invite you to come and to receive Holy Communion and thank God for both the forgiveness and the grace that empowers us to make a new start on our Christian walks. I invite you to come and receive the elements and thank God for His grace and stand and offer yourself again to Almighty God. You reap what you sow. You only get out what you put in. If you're sowing it to yourself, if you're sowing your concerns and your presence, your money, your gifts, and all of your service to your own life, guess what? When you die, it dies with you. But if you're sowing your prayers and your presence and your gifts and your service to God, to the building up of the family of faith, then you are laying up in heaven, my friends, treasures that go beyond our comprehension. Give thanks to God for His almighty grace that empowers us to serve, pray, be present, and give. And give thanks to God for His wonderful, almighty, most wonderful, blessed Son, Jesus, who died, that we can pray, we can be present before God, we can give, and we can serve. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let the people of God say, Amen.